Now, more Lawyers Who Needs Them on TalkZone.com. Here are your hosts, Jim and Randall.
Welcome back. We've got Professor Stanley Staccato on the band, and the band is here. He's the band leader. We are the only legal talk radio program in America with our own orchestra.
That's right.
The only one.
That's right.
And that's because we have a big payroll.
And the reason we're on this time is that they have to be turned back in.
By six. They have to be returned to the institution.
Right.
The bus pulls
that's
up in
right.
front
they
of the studio.
The doors at night.
And they take them back.
That's right.
But you know what? It's good for them to get out a little bit.
They get a little air.
You're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
I'm Jim Hartman.
And now it is time for questions from our loyal listeners.
And now it's time for the main event.
All right, the professor.
Enough for the bump, bump, bump.
I love that percussion group. Those guys haven't worked together like that in years.
I know.
That's because they just got out. All right. Are you ready for your first question, Professor?
I am.
All right. Milton from Washington, D.C. writes, Dear Jim and Randall, have my rights been violated if I am forced to retire early so the company can replace me with a younger and less expensive employee?
Well, if you put it that way, absolutely. You are protected by the Discrimination Against Aged Act. ADA.
No, that's American with Disabilities Act.
ADEA. American, whatever. It's an act. I forgot it.
You're so old, you forgot what it was. Well, it's discrimination
anti-discrimination employees, age,
whatever it is.
There is an act, and there is a definite statutory federal law against discrimination because of age.
Based on what he described.
And if you can show someone you were fired to be replaced by a younger and less expensive employee, that's exactly what the act applies to.
Right.
And you certainly do have a cause of action, but you have to, after all, prove that. Burden of proof is always on the plaintiff.
Right.
And so, there you go.
All right, Milton, take a stab at that, and then let us know, call us back and let us know how you made out. Kathy from Albuquerque, New Mexico writes, Dear Jim and Randall, can I create a trust to protect my assets from taxes?
Well, you need a lawyer, because when
right.
you say create a trust, there's all kinds of trusts. You mean an inter vivos trust, which means a living a trust, which is while you're alive that you create and set up as a grantor with an independent trustee. You mean a revocable trust, irrevocable trust. You mean I'm just about to choke to death.
You are having a tough time.
Or do you mean a testamentary trust?
But the truth is that she can.
Set up a trust in your will. Yes, you can set up a trust, but when you say just to avoid taxes, if it's a testamentary trust, inter vivos trust, how you set it up determines how you avoid that. And you'd have to go to an attorney who specializes in trusts and estates for the reason that depending on what your assets are and how you want to set it up, will determine the tax benefits and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And remember something. Don't just do something to avoid taxes. You don't want to defeat your own wishes just because of taxes.
But what she's asking is, as a trustee on several estates, I can tell you that one of the benefits of setting up a trust is that there is some tax relief. But Jim is absolutely right. You need a trained, highly trained attorney who knows what he's doing in this area. And believe me, this is one where you do not want to make a mistake. What are you doing? Are you washing your face? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, Harry from Queens. Hey, Queens, that's where I was born.
That's right.
Woodside, Queens. Not too far from where you were born. And where were you born in Brooklyn?
Brooklyn. Flatbush.
Flatbush. Okay. Flatbush.
Home of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Home of the Brooklyn Dodgers, folks. Don't forget that. Who was a famous Brooklyn Dodger?
A lot of them.
Snyder?
Duke Snyder, Cookie Lavigetto.
Gil Don Hodges?
Camilli, Gil Hodges.
Oh, okay. So I remember a couple of them.
Van Lingo Mungo, who pitched in about 1936, I think.
Oh, Van Lingo Mungo. Imagine what they do with today with a name like that. They'd have a line of Van Dingo Mungo clothing.
Today, he's not from the Dominican Republic.
Oh, you can't do anything about it. All right, here's a question. Harry from Queens writes, Dear Jim and Randall, what are the legal documents required in a formal estate plan?
Well,
why don't we just answer that question.
There are several. It depends on what your plan is. it may be a trust. You may have to set up a trust, or not have to, but you may, it may be advisable to set up a trust. You probably want a will.
Right.
You may want some insurance provisions. You may want to provide powers of attorney.
Yes.
When I say these things, you may, because each person is individual in this regard. And every estate is different, and everybody's property is different, their children are different, so forth. So you really have to see a lawyer on this one.
Yep.
And when you say lawyers who needs them, you need one.
This
if you
want
to do this kind of a plan, it's important that you see an attorney to set it up so that you can accomplish what your objectives are.
And there are quite a few different documents that you can choose
from. You know, you read these books to handle your own probate, how to avoid probate, and so forth. But, you know, when it comes to providing what you want to provide, and then you want to get, if it's technical, you probably want to get a lawyer.
Yep. This is one way you really do. As we said to our friend Kathy from Albuquerque, you really do need an attorney on this one. All right. And don't use ours, Bambostic Bushkin. He's not too good.
He's worthless.
He's Karen from Boca Raton, Florida.
Hey.
Dear Jim and Randall, what are the reasons that a judge can declare a mistrial?
Well, one of the reasons you'll see is that you have a hung jury. That's a mistrial.
Well, they're just swinging there, hanging?
That doesn't mean they're all being hung.
Oh.
It means that they can't they can't reach a decision with the necessary
apportionment
and a vote. For instance, in a criminal case, you have to have, in our state, 12, some others maybe less.
Mm-hmm.
In a civil case, you have to have 5 out of 6 here or 10 out of 12. So if you can't get that, and they've deliberated, and they cannot reach a verdict,
that's a mistrial.
That's a mistrial.
What else?
You can have a mistrial because certain things are done evidentially, which shouldn't have been done. You admit evidence is clearly shouldn't have been admitted and will prejudice the jury. You can have a mistrial, like in some states, as an example, in New York State, you don't mention insurance in a trial. Everybody knows there's insurance, but you don't mention it. So if you say, are you insured? Bango. mistrial. So things like that.
Okay. But that means it just gets retried.
Gets retried. Mistrial is, it means it, you bought the trial.
Right.
It's not a full trial, and you then can retry the person, either criminally or civilly. It's not double jeopardy if there's a mistrial because you haven't had a trial, so you haven't been tried twice.
But you got to start a whole new.
Just tried twice for the same crime.
That's right. So it's a mistrial, not a.
Right. Exactly.
But you got to throw the jury out and start over again, right?
And there's a lot of other reasons. I mean, you get an hysterical nut as a lawyer,
right.
Or you get a judge who's no good, and you get a mistrial for that.
Okay.
So that there are just myriad reasons. But
Karen,
it's a good question.
And we hope we covered the one you're looking for.
Right.
Dirk from Baltimore, Maryland. Boy, we are getting around the country today, aren't we? Dirk writes, Dear Jim and Randall, what is the world court? And do they have any jurisdiction over American citizens?
Well, a couple of world courts. Isn't there that new world criminal court? Then there's a world court. They don't. Yes, they would have. Some have. I think they have some jurisdiction over citizens, but it's the nature of the case. For instance, the world court, as I know it, is a court that tries issues between or among nations.
Nations, right.
Like, can you charge a tariff for this under the world agreements and those kinds of things. I wouldn't worry if I were a citizen, an American citizen, and you're going to get, you know, you have an auto accident, the world court's not going to try.
Not going to take that case.
And stuff like that.
Right.
The world court is involved in issues that are generally, as I say, between nations that involve international treaties, international trade agreements, and such as that.
All right, Dirk, I hope that was a good answer to your question. Are you falling apart today? You good?
I think a little problem.
I think you have a little authoritative phlegm.
I have something that's wrong.
Yes, phlegm.
All
right.
Mine.
Rosie.
Yes.
From Austin, Texas, writes.
Right.
Dear Jim and Randall, what can I do about a drunken neighbor who comes to my house to chat? I'm afraid he's going to fall and sue me.
Give him a drink.
Give him a drink.
Offer him a drink. Comes in the house and he's, give him a drink.
Give him a drink?
No, that's really.
In the middle of the night, he knocks on your door.
Well, if he's drunk and you can't give him a drink and he doesn't want to behave himself, throw him out. Put him out on the street.
But she's afraid he's going to fall down the steps. Then she's going to be liable.
The chances
Should
are.
Should you talk to him?
Well, I would certainly do that, and I would call the police.
You'd call the police?
Call the
on
police.
Your neighbor?
Well, your neighbor or not, he's coming in there and you're afraid. You call the police, call his wife, tell her to take him home.
She's left him. She's either, sick of his drinking.
Either that or she's still in the saloon drinking. But, yeah. Say here, come on in, have a drink. You know, sit down.
Take out the Bible.
Right. Oh, and repent. You can take the Bible out. That's the main thing. I meant to say that. When he comes in drunk like that and all, and he doesn't want to have a drink, take out the Bible and say repent. Repent. Get rid of this demon rum. Do not drink. You're a sinner. Repent.
And if that doesn't work,
throw him out.
Down the steps.
Throw him out of the steps.
Oh, Rosie, you called the wrong people for advice on alcohol.
Okay. So long, neighbor.
Oh, my God. That's right. When the cop pulled those guys over, and the driver was so drunk, and he said to the guys in the back seat, how would you let this guy drive?
Because I'm too drunk to sing.
I don't know where I am. Oh, we're going back to Albuquerque. Yes. We got two people from Albuquerque today.
This is Bill from Albuquerque.
Yeah, we got two. Yeah. Bill writes, Dear Jim and Randall, if a newspaper prints a story damaging the reputation of a business or an individual, is it and it's later proven to be false, what remedy does the injured party have?
You have a remedy, and that is a suit in libel. Because that's the print. Libel is printed, slander is oral.
Right.
And if it is untrue, if it's false, you can sue. Now, there are exceptions to this thing regarding political things, public officials. There's a whole line of cases that have narrowed that. But if you're an individual who is not a public figure, this is not a public issue, you've just been simply libeled or slandered in your business or profession or in any other way, You have a right to sue the newspaper.
And the newspapers today, just like the television stations, in the old days they would get a couple of corroborating witnesses. Today they print the story as it's evolving.
That's right.
They don't even know what happened.
So
you have to be on your guard, Bill, and that's a very good question.
Right.
Mary from Butte, Montana, or spelled Butt, but it's really Butte, Montana, writes, Dear Jim and Randall, what are the criteria to be considered a conscientious objector?
You have to actually be you have to have a religion that seriously tells you, or you are under an edict, in a sense,
from your religion,
that you cannot kill, you cannot go to war, you're not allowed to. Quakers.
I was going to say, can you give me an example?
A lot of Quakers are right. Certain other ones. You can't just all of a sudden get religion. Right. And say, you know, whoops, there's a war on. All of a sudden, our conscience energy object,
right.
And I don't believe in killing. Well, you got to really do more than that.
Right.
And I've given the best you can because I don't know what the rules are. I think that if you are a conscience energy objector, you should nevertheless perform some service.
Right.
You can be a medic. You don't have to shoot anybody and
right.
kill.
You can work for the USO. You can work in the KP. You can do KP.
Well, you would do work for the service to
right.
help the boys and girls that are getting there.
All right, Mary. We hope you enjoyed that answer. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this week's Simon Hart Award. This week's Simon Hart Award goes to Philip Williams, who was an unhappy consumer. Thinking a friend had duped him, he stopped two Tampa, Florida plainclothes police officers and handed over his crack pipe.
Our information has it that Mr. Williams asked if they wouldn't mind testing the crack cocaine that he'd bought earlier, just to make sure it was the real deal. Good news, it was. Bad news, they arrested him. I don't know.
If this guy didn't have bad luck, he'd have no luck.
That's right. It's a true event.
You're just strolling along here, fellas. Hey, you guys look like nice guys. Right. Try this crack pipe and see what you think. Oh, my God. Mr. Williams, very poor judgment. Anyway, it's time to introduce our crack staff, our orchestra leader, Professor Stanley Staccato.
Our meteorologist, Gail Forbes.
Our sports reporter, Crash Duggenhausen.
Our studio engineer, Rollicking Randy Meyer, who tonight is...
Replaced by Rollicking Scott.
Rollicking Scott.
All right, our sound effects... our producer, Chris Confounded Allcartwright.
Our sound effects specialist, Horatio Heart Attack Wingate.
Our technology advisor, Ms. Lever, Lisa Reno.
Our legal historian, Ed...
English fellow, huh?
Yes, Oxford, you know.
Really?
Always wears the shoes.
Hair and makeup specialist, Ms. Georgia Peachbuzz.
Our medical advisor and professor of proctology, Dr. Seymour Gutt.
Our director of impressionism, Mademoiselle Camille Au Contraire.
And our Italian limo driver, Mario Just in a time.
Each week, ladies and gentlemen, he gets us to the studio. Just in a time. Well, folks, you've survived another hour. Of course, we don't know that. Might not have survived it. But you certainly have wasted a perfectly good hour listening to this program. However, we want you to know we appreciate it very much. We hope you had a great day. We want you to have a great week. Be kind to your neighbors. And no matter what happens, don't sweat the small stuff.
Remember, folks, it's all small stuff.